Good to see everybody this morning. We're so thankful for another day of life that God has given us and the opportunity to be here on this good day, this first day of the week, which means so much to us. It's good to have the number that we do have here with us today. We're so grateful for your desire to want to worship and serve our Lord, our King. And it truly is a blessing to be able to do that together. So thank you for your desire to be here and honor him. I want to invite you to take out your Bibles, follow along with us as we study together from the Word of God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have so much, don't we, to be thankful for. So we're grateful for that. I don't see that this is on. Dan, is this on? Okay. All right. We are, as has been mentioned already this morning, live in a beautiful place, a place that God has designed and has made, and we're thankful that we can enjoy living in such a place as we do in the mountains of Colorado. What a blessing that is. Although we can't see them right now, we know they're out there somewhere, which we, again, as Mike mentioned, we pray for folks that may be in the path of some of that, the fires and devastation that's going on. We want to pray for them and pray for rain, as has been mentioned, and think about them. But we're thankful for those mountains. But we're also thankful for the valleys. I was reading this week that Colorado has 4,599 valleys in them, and it has the largest alpine valley in the world, which is the San Luis Valley, which I didn't realize that to be the case. But there certainly are some beautiful valleys in Colorado as well. In the scriptures, we find valleys. I want to talk about that a little bit this morning and make a few applications to the valleys. We talk about the mountains a lot, maybe not the valleys so much. But we see beautiful valleys expressed in the scriptures as well. For example, in Genesis 49, the people of Ammon put great pride in the situation that they found themselves in and their land and their valleys that they lived in, beautiful, flourishing, flowing valleys that they lived in. But sadly, they, in those circumstances, in that beautiful place, were backsliding against God and not living as they ought to live. And God says, it doesn't matter where you live. If you're not doing well, it's not going to be good for you. And we find that in Genesis chapter 49. Some valleys bring great challenges, and we talk about those as in a metaphorical sense as low spots. You know, we go through our peaks and our valleys. We often talk in that way. But I want for us to kind of turn our attention for a few minutes together to some valleys that we encounter in Scripture and ask ourselves the question, are we in one of those valleys? In which one are we in? As we look at them from the Word of God. The first one that I want to look at is the Valley of Abject Rejection. And perhaps I think one place that would represent that in the Scriptures is the Hinnom Valley. The Valley of Hinnom. We find that valley in the Old Testament. Especially, we might think of 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and also chapter 33. But it's scattered throughout areas of the Old Testament, the Valley of Hinnom. It had a very storied history and a very sad history. The Valley of Hinnom was a place where people would come to do the unthinkable. And they would bring their children, they would bring their offspring to that place, and they would sacrifice them to a foreign god. The Baal worshipers would come into that valley, and they would beat on drums as to drown out the cries of those that were put to death. It was a horrible place. The Valley of Hinnom. Hinnom means burning. There was a constant fire there, apparently. And Tophet was another name of that place, which meant drum, as they would indeed drown out the cries of those that were put to death. That place is also known in Scripture as the Valley of Slaughter. There are a lot of bad things going on there, a lot of sad things, a lot of very sorrowful things in that valley. We read about a place like that, we cannot begin to fathom that kind of place. But that kind of place is representative in Scripture of a place of sin, of a place that is apart from God. That those things that would go on in that valley, God wanted nothing to do with. That kind of sin, that kind of departure from God. The most skewed of philosophies were there. Ungodliness and selfishness. That valley is a place of pain and loss and uncertainty. Now, I want you to know that there's a lot of people in that valley. That valley, from a literal standpoint, has long passed, but figuratively, there are a lot of people that are in that valley. A lot of sadness, a lot of destruction, and a lot of death. It's a hard place to be. And the way of the transgressor is hard, says the Proverbs. And truly, that is a difficult place to be. It's a place that if we find ourselves in that valley, we must get out of. We've got to leave that place. In Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 31 in your Old Testaments, Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 31, God says, such a place as that I cannot conceive of. Such a place as that I cannot imagine that would never come into my heart. Living in that valley is not something that God ever had in mind. Living in a place like that is not something that He ever intended for people to live in, nor to ever enter into. In fact, it says here in verse 31 of Jeremiah chapter 7, they have built the high places of Tophet, which is the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. That never ever entered into my thinking, that such a thing as that would ever take place. In Jeremiah, just turn over a few pages there to Jeremiah 19, just a few pages over into Jeremiah chapter 19. God says that that place that is called by those different names of Hinnom or Tophet is not going to be called that anymore. He says in Jeremiah 19 and verse 6, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Let's call it really what it is. It's a terrible place. It's not connected with a man, the son of Hinnom. It's not connected with a thing or an object, a drum. It's a valley of slaughter. And man has a way of kind of redefining or making something not sound as bad as it is. Let's call it something that doesn't sound quite so terrible. We'll call it an affair. We'll call it living together. We'll call it a choice. Or we'll say it's my body. We'll call it something different than it really is. We'll call it love. We'll call it experimentation. We'll go down the line and we'll just make that not sound as horrible as it is. It is the valley of slaughter. We can't do that. We can't redefine. We can't reframe or rename what that is. And we can call any sin by some other designation or label, but we must recognize that it is what God has said that it is. It's a place of death. We read in the Scriptures such thing. How do we know if we're in such a place? Well, we know from the basis of God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. We know on the basis of what God says, whether we're in such a place as that or not. And He says here, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. How do you know if you're in such a valley as that? Well, the scriptures are clear about that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 would say that there's vengeance that would await those that do not know God, that or do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:8 says that the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so we must ask the question, am I in that valley? Do I find myself in that place? If I do, then I need to do what Josiah did. Look back in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23, we find Josiah who is now king, and he knows that horrible place. And he knows what is going on there, and he is aware of all the sadness and death and all of the ripple effects of that that roll through the nation of Israel. And he wants to do something about it. And when we know that that's the problem, and we know that we are there, then we need to do something about it. And Josiah did in chapter 23 and verse 10. And it says that he defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech. You see what he does there? He defiled the defiled place. He goes into that place where sin is taking place and he does away with it. That defiled place needs to be defiled in a different way. And if you go through reading the next few verses there, and you just read down through the context of this, there's some very strong descriptive words as to how he dealt with that. He didn't tiptoe around. He knew that this was a place of death and burning. And he didn't tiptoe around that. He wanted to restore what was lost. He wanted for it to become good again. And he knew that something strong needed to be done. And in verse 11, he burned the chariots. In verse 12, he broke down and pulverized there and threw the dust of those things into the brook Kidron. In verse 14, he broke in pieces. In verse 15, he crushed it to powder. Do you see that when he knew that this was a place of death, that he went in and defiled that place himself? So I thought about that. I thought about the need that we have when we recognize that something is killing us to do something about it. To defile the defiled place. And Jesus would say, if your eye is causing you to sin, pluck it out. Is it pornography that's killing us? Is it the computer that we need to pulverize? Is it a relationship that we need to do away with? Is it materialism that is causing us so many problems that we need to just decide to give some things away? Is it selfishness that we need to decide to give ourselves away? To pulverize that, to break it into pieces, to do something about it, like the Ephesians who took all of those terrible books that they had been so attracted to and they burned them up in the middle of the city. I'm done with this. And that's what Josiah does. He defiles the defiled place. Is it alcohol that's in that valley? Is it some substance that we must just get rid of and decide once and for all that we're not going to be held by this thing in bondage? We must come out of that valley. I want for us to turn our attention to another valley now in Joel. Turn back to that passage that we read for our reading. And I've called this valley the Valley of Consequential Neutrality. Abject rejection, and then now the Valley of Consequential Neutrality. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But there is such a valley in which we tend to find ourselves sometimes where we just try to take a neutral position. Where we try to just ride the fence with one foot in the world and one foot out of the world. And the fact of the matter is that we can't do that. We cannot do that. In Joel chapter 3 and beginning in verse 14, he says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel." You have to make a choice. Joel says, now is the time. With all of this coming on, you better make a choice. And you can't remain in that valley of decision this way or the other way. I'm not sure which way that I'm going to go. Maybe I can do both at the same time. I'm just not going to commit. I'm going to take it easy and take it slow and remain neutral. Folks, what did Jesus say about that? He said, "He that is not with me is against me." There is no moral neutral Switzerland that we can just go to. There is no neutrality in its truest sense that we can choose. But yet we think that we can remain on the sidelines morally and maintain anonymity and pick no side, but we can't do that when it comes to the Lord. There's a lot of great biblical characters that show us the way. We think of Moses, where on one side he's got Pharaoh and his daughter, and the other side God and his people, and he's got to make a choice. And that wasn't an easy choice. Of all that he had there with him and all of the good things that he had in Pharaoh's house, and now he's called upon to give all of that up, to suffer with the people of God. It would have been easy street with Pharaoh, with accolade and wealth. But he made a powerful choice, and he chose to suffer with the people of God. And then we look at Joshua, and we think about Joshua, and here he tells of all the promises God has kept and all the good things that he has done. And he said, "We're in the valley of decision, and you've got to make yours. I am making mine. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We've got to make that choice. We think of Elijah who stood on a mountain but was in a valley of decision and was talking to people, and he said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If Baal is God, then serve him. If God is God, then you serve him." You've got to make up your mind about this. It is time to be definitive and sign on the dotted line. In Proverbs 1 and verse 29, wisdom is speaking, and wisdom says that you're going to have problems because you did not choose the fear of the Lord. I imagine that there are some today that are finding themselves in that valley. We're really not committed, not living a crucified life. Somewhat ashamed of the gospel, not definitive as we should be as to who we serve with all of our soul and all of our heart, all of our mind, everything that we have. Have we made that decision, or are we still in that valley? We've got to make a choice. And today we are faced with that figurative place where maybe we think we can just be a good person. And that'll be enough. or to find some neutral ground. I don't want to be too religious. I want to be accepted. I don't want to go too far. And maybe I'm somewhat of a lukewarm Christian, where I'm not hot nor cold. The most important choice, folks, that we will ever make is whether we will serve the Lord. It's not about a school. It's not about a place to live. It's not about a job. It's not about any of those physical things. Are we going to serve the Lord? That's the choice that we must make. How long will we falter between two opinions? Serve God. Jesus said that there are two ways. One of them is wide and one of them is narrow. And there are few that find that way. Choose that way. In Ezekiel chapter 37, I want to point out a third valley. And that's the valley that we need to be in this morning. And that is the valley of a comprehensive change. Of a metamorphic kind of change. In Ezekiel chapter 37, and this is the valley we sing about in our songs, Paradise Valley. That's the one that we need to be in. Not the valley of rejection, not the valley that we just talked about that is an indecisive valley, but the valley of comprehensive change. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we find this very, very interesting vision that he has here in chapter 37. And in chapter 36, very end of chapter 36, notice what is said in verse 35. There's going to be a change. And that change will be brought about by God himself. And he says there that they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. He's looking forward here to a complete change. If you haven't experienced that change, then you're missing everything that life is all about. It's the power of Jesus Christ that brings about that change. If you find yourself like those folks in chapter 37, bones just completely dry. Death, the very picture of death that we find in chapter 37, in verse 1, what a horrible condition to be in. But here in Ezekiel chapter 37, where he sees this great vision, he says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to those bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. That valley became a valley of life. It became a valley of vitality and hope, where death and dryness and hopelessness became nothing but hope, resurrection, optimism, refreshing, goodness, all of that in that place that was death. It's the same thing that we read about in John chapter 5 and verse 25 in the New Testament, where he says there in John chapter 5 and verse 25, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. I know something about that valley. Christians know something about that valley because we've been there and we've seen the change and we know what it's like to live in both conditions. And we know what it's like to have been given life and to be raised to walk in newness of life. What a wonderful valley that is. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this will be our last passage that we'll look at this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's an interesting battle that takes place. And Ammon and Moab, enemies of Israel who were very mighty and strong at that point in time, were causing great difficulty for the people of Israel. And that valley was going to change. And it would be a valley of blessing, the Lord says. But it would only be that because of the determination that those people had to turn to the Lord and to go where they knew that strength would come from. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, they call out for the Lord's help and they say something wonderful here. It's the same thing that we ought to say. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And he goes on to talk about, as you come down a little bit further, what a great statement. That's what we must do. Our eyes are upon you. That's where we look. In the next few verses there, in verse 15, he says, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then verse 17, he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. That valley was going to become something different and something beautiful. And that's only because they turned to the God of heaven and looked at him. So I want to ask you the question this morning, what valley are you in? Are you in the valley of just abject rejection against God? That you have rejected him, that you have lived in sin, that you find yourself in a horrible condition, in a very terrifying condition? Or maybe in that valley of consequential neutrality where you've kind of rode the fence and you've not made a decision. And let me tell you, that is a decision. That is a decision. There really and truly is no such thing. We think there is, but there isn't. And then this other valley that we've just mentioned of just a complete and total change. Those are the three choices that we had. You're in a building full of people that know about all three. And we've all been in one of those particular places. There is horror in one. There is dissatisfaction in the other. And there is a peace that passes all understanding in the third. Choose life. Thanks, folks, for your good attention this morning. We're so thankful to God that He has made it possible for dry bones to live and to have the hope that we read about in the Word of God. Are you ready to be raised to walk in newness of life? To be raised as a result of the power of Jesus Christ, giving yourself to Him, obedient to Him, being willing to confess the name of Jesus Christ and be buried in water and then raised to walk in newness of life, putting that old man to death and then raised up a new creature in Him. We're so thankful for that opportunity. If there is someone that needs to do that this morning, won't you be obedient to Him? Won't you come? I will stand. I will sing.